Good morning, everybody. It's 9 a.m. on Thursday, December 5th, 2019. We're gathered for the Josephine County Board of Commissioners County Administration Workshop. We get to start this morning with our district attorney and staff regarding a grant agreement, VOCA CFA 2019 Josephine County DAVAP 00034 between the State of Oregon and Josephine County for services to victims of crime. And Cecilia Hay, good morning.
Hi.
You guys want to come to the table for the sake of the microphone? Another VOCA grant.
Another VOCA grant. This is the one that we've had since the dawn of time. This is actually two separate grants that have over time been lumped into one. The VOCA portion is Victims of Crime Act, and this is the non-competitive grant. The CFA is Criminal Fines and Assessment, which is just a lump sum we get annually to use for victim services, and they just kind of smooshed them together for reporting purposes. This will fund in year one, 1.5 FTE victim assistance, training to send them to the State Victim Assistance Academy. We'll purchase two printers in year one and an additional one in year two, and pays for the photocopy expenses for victims services. We budgeted in year two, space allowing, to add an additional victim assistant to the staff.
Wow.
And we're matching this with the portion of the victim's assistant supervisor's salary that is not picked up by the CFA portion of this funds. So that will be our match.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions?
No, sounds good.
Do you remember what VOCA is? It's just fun to say.
What's that?
You remember what VOCA is? It's, last time I had to say it, I'm like, oh yeah, Victims of Crime. I don't remember what the A is.
Act.
There we go.
We always throw act in for any of the A's.
And, yeah.
Then they'll correct you. But at least you sound like you know what you're talking about. Oh yeah, I know what that means.
Awesome.
Good luck.
It's an ongoing one. It's budgeted so it can go to consent calendar.
Yes.
So we will move that forward. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day.
Have a good day.
Up next is our Sheriff's Office, U.S. Marshal Intergovernmental Agreement, and Aurora Frost is presenting.
Morning.
Morning.
We are just requesting approval to sign an intergovernment agreement. We currently get $100 a day per federal detainee that we house, and we're increasing that to $110 a day. Okay. It averages about $17,000 more annually that we would get.
So you already have an IGA in place, and this
yes.
is an amendment to the IGA, or is it a new entire IGA?
I think they did it as a new one.
Okay, it looks that way.
Yeah, but all the verbiage I went through and compared them is exactly the same other than the dollar amounts. And then this term is for 3 years. The other one was for four, the previous one.
Have they, I'm trying to get to the bottom here. There's no signatures there. Have they already signed off on the change?
The U.S. Marshals?
Mm-hmm.
No, because they're very strict. They require all of our original signatures to be sent to them, and then they'll sign it and send it back to us. But they've approved the 110.
Verbally, negotiate
that with them.
Yeah, so you negotiated with them for the $110.
Yes.
So in other words, we get all of our paperwork done, send it's just housekeeping for them to sign it and send it back.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I was going to wonder, is this going to be a big surprise?
No.
And they also say we're not interested?
An IGA.
Okay.
Normally we're signers on IGAs.
Yeah.
So our approval would be to authorize.
I can't read that. But
that's the chair. Daniel.
Oh, what's that? Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just looking at the signature sheet. So normally IGAs are signed by us as the governing body.
Or
so,
you can delegate it.
We would have to, in the process,
approve him
to sign it on behalf of the county. Or in approving it, change the signature forms that we're signing it. Either way, just wanted to point out that um,
Which would you prefer? If I can request for them to update that and get it to me before next Wednesday.
Current policy or procedure is IGAs have to go through us. I don't know.
I think I'd rather keep it that way.
Yeah.
Well, especially on this one here, because it's for 3 years. I think it would have, you know, although Dave Daniels is the sheriff or duly elected, I just think it would be better if to stay with policy rather than we have to change it for this particular document. But let's just stay with what we have concurrently, and we're not in objection to it.
But I don't have a problem with it going to the WFBS next week for the approval. So apparently because it's new, it has to go to admin versus consent, even though it's not new. I don't think it'll be an issue either way.
Okay.
But if they are able to do it in a different way, otherwise our staff generally just whites it out, writes the name in there of who it should be the signer.
Okay.
Or our signature page or something like that. So.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Maybe work with them. And
okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
Next up is department business. We start with property management and order number 2019-073 in the matter of authorization of sale of county land by private sale. And good morning, Helen.
Good morning. This property is the Lawn Ridge property that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, the 50% undivided interest that we did a sealed bid sale on, and simply would be the board order that's not quite ready yet, but it will be in time for weekly business session. We'd like to move that forward to weekly business session on the 18th, if you are in agreement with that. And that would be basically the buyer has completed their part of the sale, which would be bringing in the full amount, and so we're preparing a quick claim deed to go along with this, and that would complete the sale.
The paperwork will be done before the Friday before.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
I think the 18th. Is that our night meeting this month, or is
next? The 11th
is the night meeting. Got it. Well, we could do it special.
Hey, why don't we have? Was there any reason why we can't have two night meetings
we
that
could.
Month?
We could, yeah.
Let's go to the 24th.
Christmas Eve. Let's do that. No. Okay, so we'll move it forward, and I guess that one goes to admin. So we'll be there on the 18th.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Okay, next up we have community corrections. Item B1 is Master Hosted Web Services Agreement with NSoft Tech, Inc. with Electronic Health Records. Big change.
Yes. Trish, do you have a copy of the...
thank you.
You need one. Thank you.
Good morning, Board of County Commissioners. Thank you for hearing me today and making room on your agenda. For the past several years, the Community Corrections Treatment Services Program has been moving toward an electronic health record, otherwise known as an EHR system, as a more efficient method of file storage and maintenance. As industry standards have changed, coupled with technological advances, we have found it necessary to move away from our current provider, which is known as Echo Consulting. For the past several months, a comprehensive review and evaluation process of two software providers, as suggested by representatives of our state partner agencies, was conducted by the Community Corrections Leadership Team, as well as other consultants and representation from information technology, leading to the recommendation to contract with Dr. Cloud, a different EHR, or electronic health record. The attached 5-year agreement represents NSoft Tech's, or Dr. Cloud, best pricing model and includes a discount of over $10,000 per year. The cost of the agreement includes $49,500 in implementation and training costs with an annual fee of $9,273. We anticipate that the total cut, this is important. We anticipate that the total cost of the agreement will be recouped within the first year of implementation due to an increased workflow efficiencies and enhanced billing functionality. So we've ran into a lot of barriers with our current software, specifically the ability to bill efficiently and effectively. So with this new software, it will sync with the statewide database known as MOTS, and that will allow us to bill much more efficiently and effectively, and we're going to be able to recoup that money. One of the strategies that we've had for this past year, and we'll go into 2020, is to have our treatment division completely independent of our state community corrections allotment funds. That will do a couple of things. First of all, it's much more efficient and effective. And then secondly, it will allow us to not have to go through the CPC audit, the corrections program checklist audit, which we're currently being audited on, and that is scheduled for May. We have other audits through the Oregon Health Authority, which is for credentialing purposes, but the CPC is for funding for the state dollars for CCA funds. We want to avoid having to go through that particular audit. We also want to avoid having to have Department of Corrections money fund our treatment division when there's another pot of money through the state OHA for billing purposes in treatment. So that's the whole purpose of this particular electronic health record for the billing purposes. But in terms of being credentialed and being consistent with all of our records for treatment, because they're very sensitive, we need to have this software in place. Yes, sir.
You're billing. Who do you, are you billing organizations? Are you billing other government entities? You're not billing individuals.
Well, it depends. But the for this particular process, it's billing OHP. So it's other state funds. But we won't be using the community corrections allotment money for department through Department of Corrections to fund our treatment division. Hopefully, that's the end goal.
Okay. Well, when I was in the private sector, you'd say, "Yeah, I do this much billing. This is how much I invoice every month." That doesn't mean anything to anybody else. It's how much did you collect? What's your 30, 60, 90, 120? Because when it gets to 120, you put down as non-collectible debt unless Correct. You do happen to get it back
this
in.
This, too, has time frames of turning it in.
But are people pretty current on that? I mean, are you waiting for money, or are there people contesting you when you send these bills out? And now you're going to be sending a lot more of them out because you're going to trim this down. And this new program will allow you to do that.
Yeah.
And bring those deficiencies forward. Is there going to be any pushback to say, well, I'm not paying that? You don't know, I guess, until you send the bill out.
Yeah, but just talking with other community partners that are within this electronic health record, it's much more efficient. Currently, we're having to hand write our bills. We're having to analyze, and it goes through a multiple different FTEs.
How long have you been on the present system?
Commissioner Moore, it predates me. Commissioner
Moore. No. But it has been, I would say it was 2013, 2014 that we went to the system, and so early on I worked with IT to get it. We went through all the presentations from the company, got it up going, and got everybody signed up, and then my portion stopped and it passed to Angie, who was helping with the billing. So I was on the groundwork of, and this was a software that the other agencies around, and we did trainings with other agencies so we'd all be on the same system, but it's been very problematic for everybody. And what you will find in the billing is it goes to the state sends a check. It's not going through the individual.
Okay.
So it's not the client to pay a bill or not, and like a court fee not paid. It's Oregon Health, it's to the insurance writes the check. So as long as we submit, get the documentation in there in the right coding, like a doctor's office does, and submit the billing to the insurance company writes the check. And that's essentially, and they have a set rate, a flat rate for certain things that are just the standard what they pay. Early on, because what I actually did my master's thesis on was the treatment system at corrections. At the time, we were not able to bill Oregon Health Authority where all the other agencies was. So it was a significant thing to be able to do that, as they were only addressing, focusing on the high-risk offenders in their treatment program, which not necessarily would be going to the other ones. Some are and all, but so that's been a change since 2014, just to be able to bill to Oregon Health Authority in the first place as an not a treatment in the community that was able to.
Okay.
Time frame.
Yes. So 2013, you said?
2014, we still were not billing, and you came in 2015, correct? Mm-hmm. So that 2014 would have been the transition year. We probably started looking at it 2013. 2014 is when we got switched over. And so.
Sounds like a good step forward.
It does.
Yep. We will be working with IT for the implementation of this. One of the things that this program will be assigned to is to the new program analyst for IT and community corrections, so this will be their first project.
Are you going to try to implement this at January 1?
That's the goal. That is the goal.
Yeah, I was wondering what your target date was. That might be a good idea. Okay.
Yeah. I like to be a little bit more general than that, maybe just call it after the first of the year. Hopefully.
More realistic.
Yes.
Okay.
Very good, sir.
Thank you, Commissioners. Would you like me to present this next week as well, in person?
It's a night meeting.
Okay.
So
you and your liaison will have to decide if you want to do it or tag team it with somebody else.
We'll discuss it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it here local or is it in Cave Junction?
It's here.
It's
here.
Next door. Okay. Yeah.
All right, great.
We could do it, you know, Sunny Valley for
I did not mean to. Right.
Just kidding.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next is our transit department with item C1, Wireless Advanced Vehicle Electrification, Inc., WPT Project Agreement. Good morning.
Good morning.
This isn't drone buses or anything, is it?
What was that?
This isn't drone buses or anything, is it?
No.
Okay, thank you.
So when we bought the buses, there was actually a charging system with them, and we've talked about this. My opinion, the best long-term solution is a more advanced, smarter type of charging system. It's an inductive charging, meaning the bus pulls over an inductive plate, and it charges itself. You can turn them all on individually rather than just plug them all in, and there's not additional hardware in the parking lot that people can run into. You don't have to worry about plugging in or unplugging a bus at the end of the day, and you can start the buses in the morning before they even go out into service, so they're being heated or cooled before they're even taken off the charging system. So this was actually budgeted in the original project. I was going this way. What we'll end up doing is, if you agree, we'll go ahead and put this charging system in, and then we'll take the smaller chargers that we have and install them in the maintenance department. So that way the maintenance department has a way to charge them in their facility rather than out in the elements, which is another thing that we've just learned.
Do these self-read the battery when they pull over the top of them? Do they say, I need to come on or not come on? Do they say, I'm 80%, so I don't need to? Or
they? Mm-hmm. They can. What we'll do is we will charge them, and what happens with the bus itself, the bus itself talks to the charger. So the charger goes, hey, how much power do you have? And the bus goes, I got 80%. And then the charger goes, well, do you want to charge? And the bus is set to go yes until it fluctuates about 97%. So it will go up and down. It'll never get to 100%. But yes, the short answer is that's what's going to happen.
I was just saying, you know, the guy pulls on top of the pad and he walks away and forgets to.
Yep.
You know, push the button to say charge, you're right back where you start.
No, immediately start talking to each other.
Is there any degaussing or anything? Is there anything, you're walking by this force field. Is there any degaussing element or anything that keeps it confined to being underneath the bus?
I think it's just the close proximity. There's a plate on the bottom of the bus itself that absorbs that charge. And so there's another plate that's buried in its...
Well, it's just
top
like a, it's like a transformer. That's what it is.
That's
you
exactly
create
right.
a field here and a field here, and whatever the difference is in the windings is either the buck or the boost.
Correct.
You know, it's either up or down.
Right. And the other good thing about these is when the bus pulls over, we can set the charging system to charge bus. Well, ultimately, my goal is to have four. So it can charge bus one, bus two, bus three, bus four, rather than charge them all at the same time. So it'll give a better advantage for us to take advantage of peak off times.
Well,
so.
And I was wondering, because you set all these chargers on at once, I don't know what your metering system is out there, if you are a strictly demand or if you're a demand and usage meter, Because if you're demand, you throw all four of those on at once. That you just set the rate right. for the whole month.
Right.
And you could do all of that at once and then shut everything off, and your bill's going to be the same.
I agree.
Because you're not usage. So I didn't know how your meter's set up out there.
Yeah.
We'll probably go out and look at it in a minute.
We'll end up getting another meter specifically for these buses so it's not tied to the rest of the public works.
And that's good, because then you would know what the actual cost
Correct.
Of operation for those buses are. It doesn't interrupt the rest of your program.
Correct.
Your heat pump in the office doesn't.
That's right. So we'll know exactly what's okay. coming into these buses and what that costs. So we can translate that into essentially a cost per mile fuel equivalent.
Right.
So this company is pretty much, there's one of two that does this type of technology. I've been working with them for a while. We got bumped because they were doing a project for Disney World, and they didn't really care about us. So
Mickey can wait.
Right, so we're ready to sign a contract with them, and once we sign that, then there's a large upfront down payment, and then they start organizing the equipment. They have their own engineers that will work with our local electrician, and we'll get it installed out at Public Works. And the last point, I'll go ahead and throw this out there, it's movable.
I'm just going to say, is this thing movable?
Yes, it's movable. And this
you
is
can throw it on your back like that.
I can just drag it around. It only weighs 18 tons.
Unlike a fueling system where you have tanks or a CNG compression system, right. those are not really movable. This stuff is all transportable. We could actually, I talked to them, if we wanted to go to some sort of a fast charging system in the future, this equipment could be used for that, and we could move it to somewhere else. Typically, it would be down at a transfer station.
Subterranean? Is it set just above the?
Just above.
Just above. So, mm-hmm. in other words, if you unbolt it from wherever it is, you can move it. You're not. If you don't have to excavate, tear out the asphalt, and pour a pad or anything.
You will have to. They call it a bathtub. So the transformer plate sits in a bathtub. So that's
countersunk.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's but you would dig it up, but it's in terms of expense, it's not the same as if you were moving a whole liquid fuel system.
But you
exactly.
could pull the mechanism out of the bathtub and go use it somewhere else.
Correct.
Yep. Leave the bathtub.
I'm assuming you couldn't pave right over, but then you have to go buy a new
another
bathtub
for somewhere
that'd
else.
That'd be a new.
Spray. I have one I can donate.
That'd be a new spray park out there.
Could be. So, in my opinion, when I went and got involved with this entire project, my goal was to make sure that we had enough money to do everything correctly and not be constrained by finances if we're going to go electric, and that's kind of where we're at here, which is why this is my recommendation. There's other agencies that are following our lead, and they've come to the same conclusion that I have, which is kind of relieving. So,
well, and the plug-in stations that you might put in maintenance,
mm-hmm.
is that more than one?
It's two. So there's one, without a system like this, there's one plug-in for every single, there has to be one plug-in for every single vehicle. The advantage of the way that we went through these is there's not a secondary or third-party system that's actually the charger. So what's going on is you're taking 480 volt AC current, it goes into an inverter, and then it changes and or inverts it to 330 DC, and that's what goes into the battery pack. So the actual component that we have is just taking the power with a cord and plugging it into the bus. So that will be at the maintenance facility. Other bus manufacturers, the charging system is a third-party system, and it's doing that conversion from AC to DC in the unit itself, and then it's putting the power into the bus. So there's some confliction between the third-party, charging system and the bus. If they don't talk to each other, then the bus won't charge. And then you get the bus manufacturer says it's not us, the charger says it's not us, and you don't get anything done. The advantage of going with the manufacturer I did is the equipment's on the vehicle. What we're talking about is just basically the plug-in itself.
Oh, nice.
Does it have a self-diagnostic like the cars today? You just plug a deal into the dash and it says, hey, the cigarette lighter quit 2 weeks ago. And does it have a self-diagnostic? You go to charge the bus and it says, no, I have a tummy ache today?
Yes. So yes, there's a self-diagnostic equipment on it, as well as the manufacturer pays for a cradle point modem to be installed on the bus, which it's now, and that modem transmits the battery's current information back to them, so they can read it in real time. So that equipment is already on the bus, and it is talking back and forth to the manufacturer.
Pretty comprehensive.
State of the art.
State of the art.
Love it.
So?
We'll move it to admin next week.
Okay, so...
Does Scott ever come to us with a problem, or is it always good news like this?
He always comes with a solution if there's a problem as well.
I always
thank you. Sure appreciate that.
It's around Christmas. I'm waiting for somebody to walk in and say, hey, I want to give some money back to the commissioners. So, you know,
good luck with that.
I have a penny I can offer you.
Thank you, Scott.
So it's a night meeting.
I think it's pretty.
I bet between these two, they can answer the questions. You got an electrician and the liaison.
Damn, there's more than
if I didn't know he was an electrician, I would have incorporated him earlier on.
Oh yeah.
Nope. It's a.
He's a
commissioner here.
Mild.
He's a regular dry cell of information.
No drum set
this
nearby.
This is pretty good in here. I think if we read that.
We have the peanut gallery room, so it's okay.
Okay, let me know.
If you want, I'll go ahead and do that if you want.
That would be great.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. And I also wanted to thank the commissioners for embarking on this project with us. It's everyone's watching us, and it's kind of...
Josephine County was brought up at the... I went to the AOC, the electrification of transportation. And the only thing outside of Portland was Josephine County has electric buses.
Yeah, and it's been pointed out to me multiple times. Every other agency has an engineering team behind them. So I don't know if I just stumbled blindly into this one or what, but I'm like, it's just me.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for making us look good.
Does that mean you have to tell Rob you need engineering wages?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'll try that. It's worth trying.
Next on our agenda is airports. Item D1, replace previous caretaker's residence at the Grants Pass Airport with a new caretaker's office from Palm Harbor. This has been a journey.
Yes, it has. I'm not sure how many of the details you know or are interested in, but 1 year ago, the commissioners approved the use of property reserve money to purchase a new caretaker office or residence to be placed at the Grants Pass Airport. So
I'm just going to pause and say I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You asked this very thing a year ago, and I asked a question about would a stick built last longer and led us down another rabbit trail.
Right. Well,
so,
you know,
so
we
I'm
all
just
learned
to start
something.
With saying I apologize that I asked the question.
When you put up a stick built home. You then have a public agency doing a public work, which requires the payment of prevailing wage, et cetera, which most home builders will not engage in. And if I'd ever done this before, I would have known that and would have recommended against the request. But anyway.
But I thought we had a hearing to bypass that.
Well, we did. We decided that it wasn't in the best interest of the county to try to bypass that.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of companies that don't do prevailing wage jobs because of the paperwork.
Right.
The paperwork is just overwhelming.
But I thought that's why we specifically had a hearing for an exception for prevailing wage.
Right.
Yeah.
We went through the process.
There's an exception for the process of letting out the contract.
Got it. Yeah. Misunderstanding.
Well, you couldn't avoid the prevailing wage yet.
Right. Well, sorry that we're here a year later.
I'm still in shock that the threshold for prevailing wage is the same as it was when they passed the stupid law. In the 80s or whatever, it's at $10,000.
Yes.
It should be at about $1 million by now.
Yeah, that's about what $10,000 is worth in the 80s.
Yeah.
In terms of purchasing power, but yeah, difference.
Really hurts us small communities.
I'm looking at this. This is a Palm Harbor quote. Is this set, ready, plugged in?
It is. It's awaiting
turnkey.
A commissioner's signature.
Okay.
Now, it's not a turnkey installation. No. We don't have site prep is not part of this quote.
Right.
This is for the delivery of the completed home with all the modifications that we have required for ADA compliance, right, for right. example. We need to expand all the doorways to 36 inches.
Do you have an estimate? Because it, you know, site prep for a manufacturer's home used to be laid it off, pour three strips of concrete footings, and put all the piers on the concrete footing. Do they require a full foundation underneath these now?
No, it'll be what you described, and it'll be essentially the same site prep work.
It's just more intensive. You got to strap them down now.
Well, sure. I mean, it's a pretty robust foundation. Yeah. I mean, it's not a stem wall foundation type of thing. Okay. But what we do is we put down those three strips so that, well, for a dual wide, you do three strips. For a single wide, you would do, you know, two strips. Yeah, but I think we're going to do three in this case. That's right. And then they'll deliver the home. And then what Palm Harbor does is they deliver, they build it to your specs, they deliver it, they assemble it, and they do the whole final, you know, drywall taping. And
they level it all up and make sure.
Exactly. And then they work in concert with the site prep company, who they have done dozens, if not hundreds, of these things. Yeah. And they did, it's the same company. We've asked for quotes from several different entities, and we received the best quote from Curtis Camps, who's the person who installed the mobile or the manufactured unit at the Illinois Valley Airport.
My question. The old manufactured home probably had 100 amp service max in it.
No.
200?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we have a 200 amp service. Pacific Power is handling all those details. Okay. And we also will be installing part of the other costs associated with this will be a heat pump so that we have heating and air conditioning in the unit as well. So we'll see. This is going to be a much less complicated site prep because we already have gas, water, septic. Right, everything's already in the ground. It's already right there. Yeah.
So it might have to be moved slightly. It's not, it has to be reinvented.
Yeah, we're actually keeping the end wall of the unit the same location as the end wall of the previous unit, and we're just extending it out a little bit because it's a little bit bigger unit.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that we've already taken this to WBS. We already approved it at a WBS a year ago.
Right.
And so if you guys didn't object, I was going to make a motion that we authorize the liaison to sign a contract on behalf of the board approving this.
The liaison has a question.
Sure.
And there's no second, so therefore...
Well, I may be your second, but I need a question answered first. I won't second it. And then
so there's the discussion for you.
It seems to me last year, when we were making noise about this, it was $80,000 for a manufactured home.
It was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. And then I think we bumped it to 110 when we gave authorization for 110 when we talked about a stick-built home. So does the 110 apply? If so, we've already well more than approved this amount. Or is the amount still 80?
Well, the amount...
It's now 98.
This is 98 now.
Well, but the amount that was approved was to not to exceed 100. And that's in the wording of the approval order.
For the house, but is that for the... Or 100 for the whole project? Because it's going to be... You only have a $170, a $180, about $1,800 before you're at $100,000 here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get all the site prep and everything done for $1,800?
No, that's going to be above.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do we address that? If we're at $100 right now...
Well, those will be additional things that I will bring to you as the liaison because they're all going to be less than $50,000.
Okay.
In aggregate, they'll be less than $50,000, but there'll be individual things like the site prep contract with Curtis Camps.
And we really don't know what that is, so we really should just take the $100,000, approve the purchase of the home and delivery of the home, and then we come back with...
I would come back to you as my liaison.
Just to liaison, yeah.
Bring it back to us, and if it exceeds 50, we bring it to the whole board?
If it exceeds 50.
Does that make sense? Is that...
So I'm going to make a motion that we approve the liaison to sign this contract on behalf of the board at the amount designated in the paperwork submitted in the
98
change,
yeah.
And change, yeah.
Yep, I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Excellent.
How is our patience of our maintenance personnel who's been waiting for this move for a while?
Well, I've been paying for his housing and for his storage unit all of this time.
Right.
We have parted company as of this month.
Oh.
He's no longer in a volunteer status with the county.
No longer in a...
So he was always a volunteer, and we were providing housing for him.
Right.
Yeah.
And the future of that position?
It's open-ended. I'm not advertising for it as of yet.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go.
Just another speed bump in the parking lot. There's
a lot to it, yeah.
I've been an employer, and I know exactly what you're going through right now. That's why I'm not an employer anymore.
Right.
Well, I am, but
I used to be an employer, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Too familiar.
Well, we'll cross that. We'll deal with that.
All right.
Let's get this thing
Thank
done.
You, very much.
You have the contract, we're told?
Well, legal has the contract.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been in legal review, and I was told that it would be presented to you before this meeting. So, I'm sure it's ready to be signed. Yeah, that's all good. Thank you. Well, I'll make sure that you get that,
right.
And we can talk about it if you have any.
I'll be here through the holidays, so.
Very good. As will I.
Next up, we have human resources. Item E1 is a position addition in public health for a project manager. Item E2 is position addition in the assessor's office for a cartographer. Morning.
Morning, commissioners.
Morning.
If you don't mind, I'm going to start with the cartographer positions.
Come on up. Honey.
Way to be nimble.
So, technically, it's adding a position, but it'll be replacing an existing position. So, the total costs for the entire year is maybe a couple $1,000. Currently, we have a cartographer position, and what we would like to do is add a lower-level cartographer to allow one of the lower-level positions to start doing cartography work. And eventually, that person, once they become more experienced, will get moved to the current existing cartographer range. So it's a lower-level ranged cartography position.
So how does it only affect the budget a couple $1,000?
Because we have an existing position that is an A10 position.
Okay.
That position will go to an A12. Our cartographer one, I think that's what it was,
I thought it was 11.
Or A14.
Well, this is A16.
So the cartographer one, which is the new position, is an A14. Sorry, I said 12, it was 14.
Yeah.
So it's eliminating an existing position and putting it into the cartographer one position. And we're already paying this job. We're just going to move it over here. And this is a little bit higher wage.
Yeah.
That's why it won't cost
very
much.
Is one or two higher?
One is the new position. It's higher than the existing position.
Which is also being paid for by the Oregon ORMAP grant. So that additional funding will be absorbed by that grant. So we have sufficient money in the grant that we received to cover the increase.
What's the life expectancy of the grant? Is that an annual grant that you have to apply for? I just don't, we staff to grants, you know, we got to get this grant, it's going to pay through, it's passed through, and then all of a sudden you go for it again and Multnomah County takes it all. And we don't get anything, then what do we do?
The ORMAP grant is, we've applied again for next year, for 2020-2021.
Is it 2 year?
You know, I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I do know that the ORMAP grant is going to expire at some point. It's going to sunset from the state unless the state renews it. So eventually that will go away. But our other concern is that we have one cartographer, and we don't have any backup if anything happened to him. And so this other position, it's not a full-time position. It's 0.8. But it would allow him to begin learning some of the things that our cartographer does beyond what he's just doing for the grant.
And he or she would be available in case cartographer's on vacation for 2 weeks and we need something answered.
Or one of those buses hit our cartographer. I mean,
you know, they always go to the negative.
Yeah.
They win the lottery and we don't hear from them again.
If he wanders off,
So reading the job description, so in your office, they do the cartography and they build into the base GIS of the county. So then over at IT, the GIS, Bob Noyes, he builds off of what you guys do, or are you doing two separate?
He gets data from us.
Okay.
And then he does other things that are outside the scope of the assessor's office.
Sure, but as far as the GIS system, this cartographer GIS builds the base that he then does stuff with.
Basically what this position is doing right now under the ORMAP grant is digitizing all of our maps. So they're putting it into an electronic digital form, which the state wants the whole state to be in. And as we're doing that, that gets pushed out. So we're moving away from just paper to being really digital. But that's what his job is going in and digitizing all his maps. And as that comes to an end, we want him to start transitioning to learn some of the other things that the cartographer does, like, you know, creating we get a subdivision, they have to go in and change all those maps. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that happen within cartography beyond just that. And so those are the things that eventually want him to be able to be back up to and assist with.
I guess I'm just, question is, we have GIS in your department, but we also have GIS somewhere else. So how
and
are they?
The I'm going to back up a little bit and give you a little history.
Good, thank you.
I was once the assessment GIS person. I had nothing to do with GIS. And we had two of us in our department. And how it came about is a very interesting story. I was probably pretty new. I was there about a year. And I got called into the assessor's office at that time along with this other person. We were promoted to assessment GIS tech. Okay. Walked out of the room. He called in everybody else and said, "You're laid off." It was his way of avoiding having the newbies be bumped. So it created this new position that didn't exist before. And so it's been that ever since, even though it really hasn't been really GIS. So it's kind of a misnomer. And so we're trying to get it to be what the reality is. And this more...
And that's why we're updating both job descriptions.
I'm surprised you're not going, la, 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 la.
Well, this predates...
Yeah, but this is 1989.
Yeah, this predates, my predecessor's predecessor.
Yeah, 1998. I mean, so a long, long time ago.
But you are the foundation of properties and countywide, cities and counties. I mean, so city has their own GIS that they do stuff and reports. Do they get their data from you as well? Because it still says GIS in here.
Right. So
it does actually do GIS now. It didn't used to.
But it is different than what happens with Bob. I mean, Bob's doing a lot of different things for planning and for, you know, the clerk's office. He's got
types of reports.
Yeah, and we're just focused on the part that relates to assessment and property taxes and tax lots and all of that. And so this is trying to get to a more realistic description and level for what is actually happening in the department.
Gigi, just so you know, the 1-1 changed from 14 to 16, but 2 says 16. On the pay rates. So pay grade A16 on both of them. One's changing from 14 to 16.
No, it's actually changing from 16 to 14 because we took the existing. There used to just be one description.
Oh, am I reading this backwards?
Yeah.
But I thought you said 1 was higher.
So, 2 was higher.
Thank you. That's what I was not catching.
So this
is going from 16 to 14. This one is 16.
Yeah, because originally we just had what is the 2 was the only description.
I'm going to steal his line. I can't see it that way.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to make sure that I couldn't tell if the cross out was in the 6. Okay, I was reading it backwards. Okay, sorry. I just wanted to make sure that they weren't the same.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, no. Okay.
I see the merit in what you're doing there. Because
absolutely.
If you only have one cartographer, we're getting back to the subject line here. Yeah. I see it's we need a certain amount of redundancy in your office and just step forward in that direction.
Yeah, it's always made me nervous that we have one person. That's not a good place to be, especially in that is a really important position in our office. It's And then, yeah, I need some backup.
The Navy has four boilers and they only use two for a reason.
Well, and she's being very fiscally conservative in this approach because, again, we're not adding a whole position. We're taking an existing position,
right,
putting some cartography into it to allow her to meet her needs without adding a full FTE.
Right. Looks good.
Yeah.
I'd make a motion to approve the job descriptions for assessor's office for cartographer.
I'll second. Any further discussion?
Nope.
I was just trying to understand you guys in the county, not questioning your positions. Yeah. I think it's wise.
Interesting explanation.
It is, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah,
but that's ancient history, you know.
Did you have business cards printed up? Oh, yeah, I'm GIS.
I kept saying, when am I going to learn the GIS? And
here you are.
Yeah.
20 years later.
Finally, there's some.
All right, so all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, so the other one.
Thanks, Connie.
Do we have a job description for the other one?
Yeah.
So the other one is a public health physician. Mike had a conflict of another appointment, but he called to weigh in, so if you need further.
Yeah, so there is a statewide initiative to standardize and improve public health processes around the state. There's a lot, you know, some counties are here, some counties are here, and so there's a statewide initiative to do that. And this position is funded by the state, so it won't affect general fund at all, in order to facilitate that initiative. And it's going to modernize the structure and process of public health delivery. And so it's a project manager to help facilitate that state initiative. And so we have a job description. It'll be a completely new position, so it's an extra FTE to the department. Where this is, you know, existing position, this is a totally new one that we'll have to recruit for.
So a little more background on this. The project statewide is called Public Health Modernization. And for the last, for my 3 years at AOC and going to the health meetings, this has been probably one of the leading topics. And every year, AOC has been going back to the state and saying, you are doing an unfunded mandate back to the counties, requiring all this modernization and improvements of stuff that has this huge price tag, yet you're not providing the funding for it. And that's been a big push from AOC, saying you cannot put this burden on the counties without funding it. So this is... And the biggest prioritization of modernization is actually preparedness, which is interesting, and also epidemics. So preparedness and epidemics are their two highest prioritizations. But this is them actually providing funding to the local level, which we've been advocating for the last 3 years, to have them pay for the process. I should also point out that they actually fund a little greater than what the position is, which would mean it would be a relief to our general fund obligation to public health. It will cover a little of the administration costs so we can reduce our burden on the general fund for public health, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I think one of the things that initiated this whole process is, I think it was 6 years ago, we had the big H1N1 epidemic statewide, and the state realized that we do not have effective process in place to even remotely deal with a public health emergency that is of that magnitude. There just isn't enough. There just isn't a process. So they said, we need statewide to improve our systems. Now, do it with no money. So this is great. They're finally going to fund some of the things that need to make those improvements.
First time for everything.
Yeah.
Do you need a motion for that one, don't you?
It's a new position, so it does need to go to admin.
Yeah, this one will go to noted next Wednesday.
Okay.
So if you guys are okay with it moving forward, it is fully funded through state dollars, so it will go that route. But
is Michael going to be available, or are you available to do the presentation?
I could cover it if Michael's not.
Yeah.
Sounds
good. I've sat through enough meetings on it.
In your sleep.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next up, thanks, JJ. Next up is other business. Any other business that should rightfully come before the board at this time?
Nope.
And then we have, I do need to follow up on the leadership summit and kind of talk through some things with you guys, see what you'd like done on that for the board meeting and stuff. Okay, and then board business. Josephine County Representative for ONC Board of Directors for 2020. I know we haven't talked yet about all the liaison roles and such, but there's a letter in here. So the annual meeting that normally all commissioners are invited to and go to is December 13th, and it's in Douglas County this year?
Right, yes, it's in Van Roodburg.
And so, I mean, everybody's welcome, but they changed something, a year ago, to allow each county to designate their board members. So instead of there being a limited 7 or 8 board members, they now, every county has a board member representative. Yes. And
I'd like to volunteer for that.
And Commissioner DeYoung would like to continue, but we have to sign something authorizing that. In addition, if we're not going to attend the meeting on the 13th, I cannot. I have another obligation.
Yep. I was planning on attending.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I would...
So you'll sign a proxy vote?
Well, this letter probably should be amended just to be my proxy vote, since you're going to be there. But it does say our proxy vote, so if it just leave it there, so if he doesn't...
That's what I would suggest.
Okay, if you're there, you get your own vote.
You're going to get to vote.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we did this
one. And this
before.
Covers it for those who don't.
But if not, I'd hate to say, well, you know, Darren can't make it because they had a family emergency or whatever, it snowed over Sexton, and then they go, well, sorry, you can't vote.
And this membership, this role can be changed at any time. It's at the discretion of our board what we want.
Right.
Sure.
But I would make a motion to designate Commissioner DeYoung as our representative of the Association of ONC County Board of Directors.
I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I would also make a motion authorizing Commissioner DeYoung to utilize our proxy vote during the Association of ONC annual membership on December 13th, 2019.
I can second that one.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thank you, sir, for your willingness to serve.
We're all set.
Yep.
I'll hand deliver that message. Going up on Thursday, and because the board usually has a dinner thing the night before.
Have we said anything about the good news that ONC counties enjoy?
Did you know that not all the ONC counties? I was asking the question. So while we were at the Association of Working Counties conference and we get the news on the two lawsuits, I was asking other commissioners. I had commissioners coming up to me and saying, shouldn't we sue federal since we were suing? Oh, that's what it was. We got the news on the state lawsuit.
Right.
And people were asking, well, why aren't we suing federally? I'm like, we are. And then I realized, oh, wait, you're not an ONC county.
You're not, there's only 18 ONC
counties. And so I went to Dave Yamamoto, Tillamook County, who is ONC. He knew nothing about it either.
Right.
Wow.
So,
well, this thing was supposed to come. Judge Leon said he was going to rule on this. We didn't anticipate that. He said, yeah, I'm going to do it pretty quickly. But we didn't expect that. And then all of a sudden, Judge Lamb says, yeah, I'm in favor, and slapped down the what do you call it, national monument status. You can't have an executive order that does that. So that just undid the whole thing. That made it put it really on a fast track. It just made the whole thing a moot point. And he just did that like overnight. I don't think anybody expected it, including us.
Well, that's good news, though.
And then the other one, for them not being in compliance, their current management plan not being in compliance with the Act, they have till January to submit remedies.
Right.
So it's not
over. It's fully settled.
No.
Right.
And that could be appealed and processed and all that.
Right,
other
it's got
stuff.
Some more process to go.
Correct.
Still pretty good news.
I realized that we did not take to the ONC Association the 400 acres of Lake Selmac. Those are technically ONC lands, even though they're designated recreation, they're being used as a park. And it's not a full 400 we're asking for, but if those swap out of ONC, we could take it off the list.
Of the swap list. Yeah.
BLM didn't have an objection to it locally because they said recreation is a purpose of ONC. It's not primary purpose.
Well, primary purpose is
harvest
and management.
Which
I I'd say we should take it out. Commissioner? Or at least bring it up to O&C.
Yeah, I'd need more information.
One reason everybody's in a pickle is that nobody ever asked O&C what, you know, when you're going to do something with O&C land, they need to be in the room.
Correct. So that would be something that we need to talk to Tim and Rocky and probably be brought up at the board meeting.
Yeah.
I can get you the documentation of what it is in the map.
Yeah, I think I better have some stuff to take with me up there. And at least, you know, at least we ask the question and see what their opinion is. If their opinion is to take it out, we'll take it out. But we have to, keep them in the room.
I thought they already knew, and I realized the amount. But I think this other one impacts this decision, and I think we need to have that conversation.
Okay. Pito?
Okay, so item 5B is a letter dated November 20th. It's a MOU implementation of a project for improvements to lighting, security, public appearance in the city of Cape Junction commercial zones. So one of the first things that came before us was selling the county building. And we had, you know, we had been told that a lot of public feedback had been received and all this other kind of stuff, but we moved forward in this process and realized it had not been, but we had promised to designate the proceeds from the sale back to the Illinois Valley. And part of it was for the city to come up with a plan for lighting and security and
facade improvement.
And so this is from Mayor Martel, and their plan specifically for security.
And what's the amount of that when you say proceeds from the sale? Does that match this amount that they're asking for, the 170?
That I don't know. I would have
105.
To. What?
We promised them 105.
Correct. So the other portions are utilized.
The other portions have already been dedicated to something else, haven't they?
We put Jubilee Park, 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it here.
You want to come up, Arthur? Just be on camera.
So what? Why are they asking for this particular amount when there's not that much in the fund? Is there something I'm missing?
The proceeds were broken out as follows: $105,000 for the Cape Junction MOU lighting and security, $50,000 for Cape Junction MOU grant funds. So that was to help them apply for grants, kind of matching fund situation, give them a little money in their bank. $100,000 for the Ivy Airport fire suppression, $65,000 for the Cape Junction Jubilee Park. So that was the total obligation on our part. We paid for the Jubilee Park, but we have not paid anything towards the MOU for lighting and security or the grant fund.
So the only thing available to them is the 105 and the 50 for grant.
Yeah.
Matching fund for grant.
Right.
So do we need to try and get these numbers to align?
I think we asked them where their funding is from for the remainder of the $65,000.
Right, because I guess I see 155, and if you pull the 50 out of that, you get to the 105 if they're both in there, the grant funding and the security, 105 and 50.
So in the MOU, I just want to point out that it does part of the commitment committing 105 available for planning, design, implementation of infrastructure projects for nighttime lighting and security in downtown area of Cape Junction. Support the city of Cape Junction in cooperative planning and design for the projects selected. And item number C, review and approve of final plan and design of projects. So the Board of County Commissioners has the, in our agreement, in our MOU with Cape Junction, that to review and approve final plan and design of the projects. So I think there's some
It says, yeah, is this proposed plan parameters and that...
This is their implementation plan.
Right.
Looking at the second page of it after the letter, I mean, that's the plan. But I can't see where their dots are on that map very well, can you?
No, not at all. But, yeah, we don't want to sign something that has...
Well, and it's curious because they're offering a reduction on permit costs for this project only at a small portion. But they also have Ford Foundation and RDI listed here. So I think we need more information before we sign off on it.
I'm with you.
Would you be willing to make that call or would you like me to?
I'd like to make sure Mark agreed to the 60% reduction. They don't give out their own fees, right? Or their 60%.
Neither do we.
Yeah.
We're not their planning department. They so under
so yeah, if it's just in the city, they have their own.
No, they use RV Cog.
Right, but it's not ours.
No, so page 3 under section B. This is a 1-3 matching program. Businesses can invest up to $250 in the program. We'll match it 3 times up to $750. The county has agreed to provide electrical permits at a reduced rate of 60%. So it is the county providing them. My bad.
Right. Cause I think electrical they turn over to the county.
Program practice. But but if it's county funds doing it, I don't think that... I don't want... Why is the county paying the county?
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody still has to get permits.
Mm-hmm.
We can't step on that, but so.
But it said we will provide electrical permits at a reduced rate, so we're not paying them. We're absorbing the cost of it, though, because permits are supposed to offset the cost of the department.
Yeah.
And dedicated to that department.
And dedicated to that department. So.
Yeah.
Are you socializing that electrical permit over all the rest of the
department? So here's the other question. Does a department head have the authority to reduce rates without board approval when the board has public hearings on what those permit costs are?
I would think that each one of those needs to be individual and come to the board on this MOU, especially.
I would say that a department head does not have the authority to reduce the rate of permits.
I don't get started on that, because I just don't want to get started. I want things like this 60% to come to the board because I don't like my wife giving away my money. I would just as soon us do that together.
Well, I'm saying it's an authority issue.
Yeah,
we go through a public process.
Well, it is,
process
in my house, too. It's an authority issue.
No. and
she doesn't
the boss isn't here right now, so no. But as far as we have a public hearing and a uniform fee set and schedule and policies in place that's set once a year, a department head does not have the authority to raise or lower their rates. It goes through that hearing once a year. So I'm just curious what the appropriate... How do we do this?
I don't have the letter, but my assumption is what they're saying is that for the security projects or the lighting and security projects that we will provide a discounted electrical permit rate. Is that what the theory
what
is?
Like.
Yeah.
So specifically for these projects, so I don't know if that means that we are backfilling those permit costs. We're charging the electrical contractor a reduced rate, but as far as our electrical program is concerned, that we backfill that with the proceeds from the CJ building sale? Is that what theory is?
I don't read it that way.
It's a small reduction, too, because you're only talking about one circuit permit at $80 that you're going to reduce to $55. So we've lost...
I just think that when we've had an official hearing and notices and stuff... Where does anybody else get a reduction? What's the process for that?
Right.
And if it were up to department heads, they could change the fees at any time during the year,
right.
Up or down.
Well, no, they
But you see what I'm saying? I'm not challenging that I don't think I'd like to do it.
Right.
I'm just challenging the authority of who has to be the ones to approve it.
I think we need to provide a process for Mark to say, I'm gonna go to the board and see if we can reduce some of our fees. And if we reduce it, then he knows about it. I think what Commissioner Morgan is trying to say is that Mark doesn't have that latitude to just go down and, okay, yeah,
on his own.
Tugged on my heartstring because you're the bow hunters of Southern Oregon or something, and I'm going to give you a break.
Same as we don't have the latitude as board because our charter says we can't reduce people's property taxes.
Right.
There's certain things that have to be in place
so
that we're not doing favoritism to things. But in this case, is it the individual businesses having to apply for the permits? Or is it the city of Cave Junction applying for their permits under our funding? I think that should be clarified because this looks to me that they're having the businesses provide it where the city was our partner, not the eight businesses. So what's the appropriate... I think it would just be good to have some conversations to make sure that we have a win at the end,
that we
do it right.
Can we bring Mark in and say, where did this come from?
I can just ask him.
I'll ask
Meadow as well.
And I don't mean it against Mark.
I'm just curiosity of where the county has agreed to just say, when did that come about? Where did that fall into that? Or is it, it may be something that Cave Junction took for granted or something. Or maybe they talked to somebody and said, yeah, will you discount... Yeah, we can discount some of these, and we can do this and that and the other thing. Let's find out where it came from.
Okay, so let's just move to the top of the page. Section A, city lighting projects. The city of Cave Junction will improve, repaint, and repair existing street lighting structures. So it's the city, and they say the labor will be provided by city staff. The poles will be maintained by the city or that need replaced. And then it goes on lighting projects, then businesses can invest. Why are businesses what? I'm not clear what the city's doing versus what businesses are doing in this situation by this plan. Because this says the city will maintain the poles and two need to be replaced, but then all of a sudden it goes business lighting project. So businesses individually can improve their lighting as well, it looks to me, is what they're doing. But I guess I just don't... It's not clear to me.
I'm following you there.
And the same businesses that there's poles at appear to be the businesses listed at the top that, under the Section 1, that are security camera placement.
Well,
so,
when I was looking at this on our agenda, I was like, we probably should have had Meadow and Rebecca here
to present
the plan.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so maybe that's the next step, is to invite them. And then we can get this conversation rolling.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
I'd say a Tuesday or Thursday, the sooner we can get them here, that they're able to, that we're all able to do it.
Yeah, because I'm glad they're this close.
Yeah.
We just need to help push them
over
the hill.
But there may be a better outcome that we can say, that since this is our money, that we say, and it's the city, another government entity doing it, there is no permit cost. But it's not a department head making that decision.
Right.
It's our general fund dollars.
Government entity.
Correct.
It is.
But what portion is the businesses versus this?
It is an MOU.
Is,
we can put anything we want in that MOU.
It is an MOU with the city of Cape Junction. So I think we have a better opportunity for partnership. This letter doesn't really
capture it.
Correct.
Okay.
We can do better.
Yep. Let's invite them in.
You want to line that up?
And
I'm going to be gone. I'll be gone. I can leave Thursday. If we do Thursday's admin, I'll still be here. And then I go to Roseburg next week.
That's pretty tight. Isn't it 10 o'clock in Roseburg?
No, 10 o'clock on Friday.
Oh.
So I don't
need
to get there until the afternoon.
Well, if they're able to be here for Tuesday's general discussion, that would
be
great.
Or
we can do a special 11 a.m. with them right after.
Yeah.
Or Tuesday afternoon, there's no legal listed.
That might be a better idea.
Or is that just my calendar and it's missing?
I don't know.
I like the special at 11.
I don't show legal on there.
It's on Wednesday.
You're right. It's on Wednesday at 10. So Tuesday afternoon is opened up because there's no legal meeting. So there
we've got
may
a couple
be some,
options.
Yeah. Let's if we have to throw a special meeting much. Just for this, so we can have
let's
kind
invite,
of a workshop.
We can invite Mark too. If it, I'll ask him.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Well, yep. Let's
get
actually get a plan
all,
together that gets this done.
Come up with something, and it'll keep make sure that Arthur brings his checkbook.
Yeah.
Tuesday
yeah.
afternoon, you were going to the So Ready meeting.
And he's so ready to do that.
Yeah, so let's try and avoid that, because I'd like to go.
That's right.
Got it.
That's right.
Got it.
Well, there's nothing in the existing SOE MOU that says any reduction to any permit fees, so just for the sake of the cause here.
What was that again?
In the original MOU, there's nothing that speaks to reductions of permit fees.
Yeah, and like I'm saying, it's not dramatic. Not creating a huge savings there.
No, but it's also a precedence of why do we go through a formality of an annual basis of, I mean, some of these fees were changed by $15 or $20. And so if we're going to that effort of going through a public hearing like we did, were you there?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so but through that effort of those public...
Was it nice?
I couldn't remember if it was after... Or while you were on your parapets.
No, it was the day I got back.
The day you got back. There you go.
I knew he was there, Darren.
Thanks, Dan, for remembering me.
Were you there?
No Christmas card for you.
That's right. No soup for you. So anyhow, if we didn't go through that annual basis, then, if they have their authority to do it without it, I mean, look at how little some of those changes are. Mm-hmm.
Let's overdo rather than underdo and then have to explain it. I think we're on the right track. Bring them in and we'll hatch it out.
Yep.
So, any matters from commissioners? Thank you, Arthur.
I just wanted to share a couple things.
Today with Travis Borda
for Danley's, which is good. I just want to thank staff, especially Trish, for making it feel very Christmassy around here.
Great job.
Yes, it looks great. I didn't know you had these hidden talents.
They're not hidden anymore.
So glad, it's not hidden anymore. You'll be relied upon in the future. And then I just wanted to have one snarky comment to the Daily Courier. They put the Pacific Power smart meter reduction on the front page and said that after some pushback, Pacific Power changed their fees. And then back on page 5, they happened to mention that the county commissioners were the ones that
we can't put that
pushed them into that. But you can't make the county commissioners look good. No. You can't in any way, shape, or form. And that was the previous board, so I'm not even defending my own actions. I'm just saying that they go out of their way to make sure the commissioners do not
get
credit
for anything. And I was emailing back and forth for that story to give information.
Yeah, I saw you had a quote in there.
It's another one of the half-truths thing.
Yeah.
And you need to look at that Valerie Lovelace's explanation in last night's meeting.
About the Courier and her...
About the River Reserve and the whole...
Yeah, she wanted to write an article and they wouldn't...
And they wouldn't do it. Yeah. She just said, I submitted an article to the Daily Courier and they refused to print it. Then they called her and said, we'll print this, but you've got to make these changes so it's more in line with the news we've been putting out. She says, absolutely not. I'm going to tell the story, and they said no.
She should put it out on Facebook.
Well,
or
she's going to do more than that. She did it last night, and it was
in the
epic.
Public meeting.
Wow.
I mean, it was epic. But you're absolutely right. And another thing, I called Michael Grant. He's with PUC, one of the utility commissioners. And because he, on email, he says, you know, got any ideas before Monday's hearing, let me know. So I gave him a call.
I heard you call. I walked through and I could hear you on the phone.
Yeah. Let's see what you've done here. By going, well, don't you think that's a good idea to just go to $10 a month instead of the opt-out? No, I said, you just gave him another $1 a month, didn't you? Oh, I guess we did, didn't we? I said, you did.
You just gave him what?
Another $1 a month. It was, if you did the opt-out thing on the four-month basis, it was $9 a month. And so now you just said, no, you don't need to do that anymore. In fact, you're going to wean everybody off of that program. It won't be available. It'll all go to $10 a month. So you just gave them another $1 a month. Well, then they came back, and in the paper it said, If you still have the opt-out fee,
yeah.
It goes now to from $9 a month to $3 a month.
Yeah. No, so yeah, so okay. What I tried to explain to the courier, I said, those that chose not to be on the equal pay a month are paying the $36 a month. And I thought everybody was only being read three times a year. But no. They claim that's $36 and read every month. But if you agreed to go to the equal pay billing, they would let you go to $9 a month and be read three times a year. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the 36 goes to 10, the 9 goes to 3.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, that and then...
even a better deal.
I asked him, he says, you got anything else? And I said, you're getting ready. I don't know if what you have involved with shutting down of grids and so on and so forth. But I said, I think Pacific Power and Light should be mandated to put together a genset program. A low interest or no interest loan for people that absolutely have somebody at home with an iron lung or oxygen machines or something of that sort. I said, you need to understand, in rural America, you shut somebody's power off, you just shut their well off, and you just took away their ability to be able to defend their home at any cost. There's nothing they can do. So give them the option, if they wish to continue on with the grid, have that genset program. I says, because if you don't, you're going to have me go out to my fifth wheel and drag my Honda generator over there and plug it back into the grid. And now, what have you done? You didn't de-energize the grid. You got people with generators plugged back in with a double-ended plug into their lighting circuit and feeding their house that way. And you're not shutting it off with a shunt like you would if you had a qualified, certified electrician to put in a genset. And he goes, have you told this to anybody? And I said, I've told it to everybody in PP&L. And that, I says, went to the Oregon State Forestry thing, Pacific Power is there, Letha was there. Everybody was there. And PP&L said they're not interested in doing such a thing. I said they're sticking their neck out a mile, and really it would be neutral to them and so beneficial to the people that they're going to shut their power off and say, because we can.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah, I'm going to shut it off because we can. That's pretty heavy-handed. And you really, when I drag that generator out of the fifth wheel and plug it in, I'm putting the guy that's up the pole trying to fix where the tree knocked it over. I hope he checks it. But then he's got to go try to figure out where it's being fed from. And it's all these generators from around the county. So he says, you know what, I'm liking that. So I don't know whether they're ever going to do anything about it, but we'll see.
No, we keep bringing it up each chance we get, because I've been bringing it up when I meet with people. You've been doing it
also.
Well.
You know, you understand. Yeah. We all understand you're just taking something away and I think you're out there a mile, and it's just a program. You know, you have programs for everything else. You have programs for Tesla charging stations on 97. Why don't you do this for everybody? This would be for everybody's advantage, not just the Tesla owner. How am I going to charge my car to get out of there? My wife brought that up because her aunt left Paradise in the last minute. It's grab the picture of my dead husband and I'm out of here. And she was driving through the Sparks. You know, you see people driving through the Sparks. I mean, if she'd had an electric car and it wasn't fully charged, she couldn't get out. She's done. Because they shut the grid off, and if it wasn't up to charge, she's... But that's an if. But it's just something to consider that I never considered.
So,
okay, I'm done. Thank you. I need to get going.
Yeah, you need to get
20 going. Minutes ago, we got an email from Oregon Public Broadcasting asking for a commissioner to take part in their Think Out Loud live radio program tomorrow regarding the installation of security cameras in Cape Junction and allowing CJ Patrol to monitor those cameras.
Yeah.
I didn't see that in the proposal, did you?
Nope.
No.
And so they want to know if someone would be available for 15 minutes between 12:30 and 1 o'clock tomorrow.
That's a good idea. Ouch.
I don't think we know enough about the program, but I...
Yeah, it's not really formed yet.
Is that emailed to us?
Did you say at 12?
12:30 to 1 for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I would be available, but I'd say we don't know yet.
Yeah.
It's in the Washington Post. There's an article right here in the Washington Post. And it says, headline is, small town can't afford cops at night. So it's turning to cameras watched by citizen patrols.
Is this all the emails we've been getting from?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, because of something said on public radio as well.
Christopher Hall responded and said,
I haven't, it was on my phone, so I haven't gone through and read all those articles.
Yeah, but that, you know, he brings it, well, you know, this is going to put Cave Junction in a horrible light that we're, this, that everybody wants.
Cities all over have cameras and different stuff, and the improved lighting is a crime reduction.
Proven crime reducer.
Exactly.
Well, I mentioned it there at the last
meeting. So do you, we can, go ahead.
At the last meeting we had out there, I said, you know, you got somebody comes out here and spins donuts in the middle of the highway all night long. That right there is marking your territory. You might as well be spray canning something out there to let people know that that's acceptable behavior. Not good.
So we can respond and say that you would be available, but it might be worth in that it's response saying, we don't actually have information yet.
Right, that we don't have an agreement yet. And we could say it tomorrow, but I'd like to kind of tamp down that story, too, because it's not been accurate.
Do you want me to respond to this email? Do you want me to respond to the email?
From them? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I could be there by phone or...
So then, yep. The leadership summit. So I don't know what time the board meeting is. One of the options I was looking at, so for the cost of fuel and motel versus a $400 flight to go up at 5 a.m., get there for the breakfast at Vista's hosting, figure out when the board meeting is, stay for the evening meeting, the district meetings that they are suggesting, and then catch the flight back. But just yesterday, I heard that flights were being canceled going into Medford yesterday because of fog. So that also makes me go, I don't know if I want to be booking a flight at 11 o'clock at night to come home. Because that's when fog is here.
They fly into Reading or someplace.
No, I'd have to spend the night. Spend the night up there. But, or it's drive up Thursday evening late because I have a Thursday afternoon meeting.
Well, and if it's about a wash, then take which one you feel safe with. Because
okay.
I still think you should go.
Okay.
Yep.
So I will go, and unless you object.
No, I don't.
Okay, and then, okay. I will figure out which one is the cheaper option. And
the best option.
I just didn't.
Okay.
Last year's leadership conference, I didn't get, the only message I got was, you know, you're the leaders of your community. Go home and tell them that it's time that the taxpayers all step up and fund the state of Oregon. I'm going to
try not to register for the event.
Yeah, just go to,
go to the board meeting, go to the evening meeting, right. Go to the specific invitation.
You just pop in. You just pop in, and I don't.
Are you lost?
Hurry out.
Why are you lost?
No.
You were already here.
I'm waiting for
that meeting to end, which is near. I heard it's near.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No. Oh, I did put up one thing. I noticed in the paper, you know, that fire that was out there on Pleasant Valley.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, the paper said, well, we're, I think one of the people that showed up said, we think it was drug activity because there was 9 propane bottles in the garage. Well, guess what? We are pushing preparedness.
Correct.
And in my mind, I've got 5 propane bottles at my shop because I heat with a little propane heater. And I've got probably 6 of them at home. And I thought, you know, it's a pretty far stretch to make that kind of a assumption just because of the number of propane bottles I have on my premise, because I'm trying to be prepared to do that. You know, I didn't think it was fair. I would say we should, before we make comment, we don't make comment, but whoever made that comment needs to wait until there's actually a report, fire report from the fire marshal that it started here because, you know, a candle tipped over and lit the Christmas tree on fire, and the propane bottles just happened to be in the garage in preparation for if the power goes out, if the heat goes out, I want to make sure that I have heat for my family or at least a room to stay warm in, and I can do that with a propane bottle. I can cook. By golly, I've been cooking off of a camp stove out in the garage for 2 months. Powered by what?
So what I would say is that is an ongoing investigation of which they do not have information yet.
Correct.
And they don't want to hinder the investigation by making accusations that are not there yet. What I would say is that Facebook hysteria went, one of the private companies posted a post that's a marketing thing. But what actually happened is both agencies arrived at the same time. And there was assumption that both were not there. They actually had a fairly smooth transition. The homeowner came out and said, I subscribe to this company. The other people were packing up their stuff to go. There was a request for assistance on one item. They stayed and provided that assistance, and then they left. And according to the duty officer, for one of the things, it was actually a really professional, peaceful transition.
It worked good.
But if you read the stories and comments on Facebook, and quite frankly, it added to almost a hostility undertone in our fire committee meeting Tuesday night of just this angst and stuff that it's causing focus to be on things other than what it really should be. But so what actually happened on scene versus what was reported of what happened on scene were two different things. Of course, there's always this side, that side, and somewhere in between is probably what it was. But I do have, there was a recent Courier article. So when we got the notification of the lawsuit response on the state lawsuit, of the 1.4 or 1 million payout and what the portion of Josephine County was, the Oregonian or somebody then did a follow-up saying that it would actually cost some counties more. So we're in the whole 12 million by winning the lawsuit.
I saw that.
And so I would like us to have legal, who is a liaison for the lawsuit, get us clarification on that. I had the Courier writing back and saying, you know, asking questions, and, you know, it was one of those things that they didn't clarify when they were asking me questions. That's where their story was going.
All right.
And, or they sent me a link to an article that, again, on my phone, I didn't have the time to go through, so maybe I missed it. But either way, I think we need to be looking into what is the actuality of this.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even settled yet. They haven't decided where the money's coming from.
It'll all be appealed, and then there hasn't been a settlement.
But it is still one of those things that if there's information out there we should know, I thought that was something we should follow up with. So, all right, anything else for the good of the order?
No.
All right, then we will be adjourned at 10:27. Thank you all.